So home spirituality, NA, is unconditional, and that also means we must allow that right to others. I would like to introduce our first speaker, is Mike S.
Thank you. My name is Mike, and I am an addict. Thank you. Thank you. Great to see all y'all this hour of the night. I was thinking it's going to be me and maybe my sponsor, but thank y'all for coming. I appreciate you being here. And thank you for moderating and stating what the purpose of this workshop was. I'm going to begin quickly. And I'm kind of a simple guy. You know, it's like somebody tried to sell life insurance to me once and explain all these complicated fundings and things. And I just said, look, if I die, I get a benefit. And I just kind of had to look at that. And that's how I'm going to kind of go tonight. There are those that know a whole lot more than me. But I have two things. I have a clean date, which is December the 6th, 2014. And I have experience. And that's I'm going to share my experience tonight about what the topic is. To begin with, this is a spiritual, not religious program. And that was very, very hard for me to come to terms with. When, you know, a little bit about my life. I was in a church from bed baby all the way until I was 18. And then after that, I joined a church. You know, I've been practicing my faith. I say that because I try to leave church out of it, but I've been practicing my faith for 41 years. I've held various leadership positions, and I'm presently holding a leadership position. You know, I am. When I think about this program, you know, when I first came in, I was desperate. I didn't care about religion. I didn't care about spiritual principles. I didn't care about spirituality. I did not come here as a self-help program. And I did not come here looking for a higher power. I just was desperate. And my life was controlled by drugs, and I just wanted to quit using drugs. First thing I did was get a sponsor. And I don't know if that's how it's supposed to work, but on December 6, 2014, on a cold, rainy night in Houston, I went to a group called Surrender to Win. During the announcements, when they're talking about events that are happening, I stood up and I said, I'm dying. And I if there's somebody in this room that will help me, please see me after the meeting. And that started it. So told me to do 90 meetings in 90 days, which I did. I read the literature for 30 days, and I started working my first step, which was step one, which was, you know, after I finished step one, I pretty much knew I was an addict when I got here, but it certainly solidified the fact that I was an addict. And the benefit for that was I could relate to everybody. But then I got to step two, and that's where we start talking about that higher power. And I wrote some stuff down here. You know, God is mentioned 314 times in the basic text. I don't know if you have seen that. So I came in with this preconceived idea of a higher power. I see this 314 times. I see us open in prayer. I see us close in prayer. And I see us take up a donation. So I'm not familiar with that. That seriously, you know, keep in mind, I didn't know. You know, I was just a newcomer and still am. I don't have 5 years yet. But that was my story. As time went on, I began to understand that this was not a religious program. You know, it says that when we do our readings, that Narcotics Anonymous is a spiritual, not religious program. And I began to get a grasp of that, and understand that it wasn't. And I'm going to be honest with you. One of the hardest things for me was to allow others, and I'm being honest, to have their own spiritual path. Because having so many years from another affiliation being told to me, you know, that this is the only path. And it was hard for me. Some people come in, they don't have any established religion, or they don't have a higher power. I did. And the interesting thing was that I could not get clean there. But I still had to come to terms with that. You know, when I talked earlier about the God that I read of 315 times, really it's like 93 times in the first 103 pages. Let me read something to you out of our basic text. And this always saves my butt, because I can give an opinion and somebody's going to come behind me and correct me. So I'm going to read what it says about this in our literature. It says, our understanding of a higher power is up to us. No one is going to decide for us. We can call it the group, the program, or we can call it God. And that, you know, when I read that sentence, I said to myself, well, there it is. God, when I first came in, heard that name, I thought it was my higher power, God. And everybody's God. But it right there, it states that you can have whatever higher power you want. And that begins that process of having a higher power to help you grow. No one is going to declare it for us. We can call it the group, the program, or we can call it God, and that is important. The only suggestion, guidelines, that this power be loving, caring, and greater than ourselves. We don't have to be religious to accept this idea. Religion doesn't even play into this. The point is that we open our minds to believe. It doesn't say trust either. It says we just have to believe, open our minds to believe. We may have difficulty with this, but by keeping an open mind, sooner or later, we will find the help that we need. And let me read my Living Clean book. And this is really what the literature they wanted us to read. Our right to our own spirituality, N.A., is unconditional. And that also means we must allow that right to others. I can't tell somebody else what their spiritual path is. And that was so hard for me, because coming into this program, I was very self-righteous. And, you know, my affiliation was a program of morals, values, all kinds of things. And, you know, I was imposing that on others. Like, you know, if you didn't act a certain way, then something was wrong with you. And it wasn't until I began that process to allow others to have their own spiritual path and to work that out their own way instead of working it out my way. And that took growth. It's not been easy for me. It really hasn't been easy for me. It says that our right to our own spirituality in N.A. is unconditional. And that also means we must allow that right to others. It's not very complicated. But this is one area of our recovery that we love to complicate. Any single definition of spiritual principles would be too restrictive for us. Wow. Our traditions remind us that N.A. is not a place where any single spiritual path is endorsed. And I support that wholeheartedly. Coming out of where I came and growing up, I today stand for the fact that you should be allowed to have your own spiritual path and grow at your own rate. Could you imagine all of us having the same higher power and trying to figure that all out, and one sees it one way, another one sees it another way? You know, it's by having this type of spirituality, it keeps us all unified. because I'm not going to come tell anybody what kind of spiritual path they have to have, what kind of higher power. If you tell an addict anything, you got problems. But you tell an addict what higher power they have to have, and you have a real problem. All right. I got all notes all over this place. All right. My spiritual path versus others. And this, for me, is... this tells it all. Step 11, my sponsor loves this step, and he always points it out to me. And it says a lot about spirituality, having your own spirituality. It says, the moment we sat down with our sponsor to share our fifth step, many of us suddenly filled with quiet certainty that we could trust our sponsor. This process... and go forward. This was a moment in which many of us felt the presence of our higher power. It goes on to say, it bears emphasizing that we should never confuse religion with spirituality. There are two separate things. This should never be a religious organization. It is not a religious organization. And I would fight for anything to keep it that way. And you're talking to someone that comes from a long history in a different fellowship and is still a leader in that fellowship. I'm going to keep reading here. It offers us a set of principles and uses the concept referred to as God, or higher power. And, you know, when I first came in, I talked about God being mentioned all those times in the basic text. I thought it was my God. I remember saying it in a meeting. I was really snooty when I first got here. And I remember saying, you know, because I was really hammering on the fact that I thought everybody had my God or my higher power. And I remember saying that, and someone said something, that and $2 will get you a cup of coffee or something like that. And because I hadn't read this. I hadn't worked up to step 11 yet. And I believe in the steps. I could not grow spiritually without the steps. I could not live my life without having the spiritual, or living them by the spiritual principles of the steps. And this truly has helped me come to terms with how this is not a religious place. You just don't know how hard that was for me. It was difficult. I remember laying in bed at night saying, Mike, what are you going to do when you sponsor someone and you come to step two? No, I don't worry about that anymore because it's been explained to me in the steps. It says that a power greater than ourselves. Remember to use as a pass out of active addiction. The spiritual principles and the concept of a higher power can go along with a member's personal spiritual path that he or she follows outside of NA. Are those principles and the concept of a higher power can serve as a spiritual path all by themselves? I do not take Narcotics Anonymous into my fellowship that I go to on Sundays. I don't. But I can use the spiritual principles that I have learned in Narcotics Anonymous of acceptance, open-mindedness, compassion, empathy, in all areas of my life, including my fellowship on Sundays. Keep reading. Now, this is the heart of it. This is the thing my sponsor has said many times. I've heard him say in meetings. It's important for us to understand that the language. It is important for us to understand that the language of NA's recovery literature is not meant to determine a member's spirituality, and. For me, that means that I am open to follow a spiritual path that I want to follow. That my sponsor's not going to tell me, Mike, this is your spiritual path. I'm your sponsor, and I'm going to tell you, you need to follow this particular spiritual path. It is also important for us to understand that we, as addicts, have character defects, and sometimes some of our members will act on theirs by ridiculing someone else's spiritual path. And, you know, that bothers me sometimes. It does. And it's all in fun, but I saw on Facebook, well, people love to screw with you on Facebook, but somebody's got a lot of time in this room. Put up a comic or a cartoon of my God teaching and shooing away dinosaurs at the time, getting them away, saying, "You're fucking up my story." And they thought that was funny. They my sponsor's still laughing over there at that. You know, no one can ridicule your higher power. Your higher power is up to you, and your spiritual path is up to you. It says, and it gets pretty specific, they may even quote NA literature to support such ridicule. Again, NA itself has no official or approved spiritual path, and any member who claims otherwise is quite simply wrong. We mention this here because we believe it is very important for all of our members to know what's true and what's not true about NA when working the 11th step. It can be a dangerous time. If members follow a spiritual path and feel unwelcomed in NA because of it, their recovery can be in jeopardy. And, you know, I have seen situations in my own life where, you know, I've almost gotten off of Facebook. Well, that's a lie. But someone called my spiritual path a belief in fairy tales. And that was early on into my recovery. And I almost left NA over it. I did. You know, I almost went to the individual and said, "Fuck you." I remember sitting in the meeting and seeing that person. And I wanted to go to him and say, "Fuck you." And I didn't know at the time. And yeah, I cuss, and that, and you know, I'm sorry about that. I used to didn't cuss till I come to NA. But y'all have brought out the best in me. You know, today, that doesn't bother me anymore. If this one person who's got, I don't know, 25, 30 years, like the guy posted on the dinosaur deal, always send him a little blurt back or a comment on his Facebook page, and I quote this Step 11 to him. And I don't say anything else. And he's really stopped posting them. I don't know if this calls of me. I don't think so. If members follow a spiritual path and feel unwelcome in NA because of it, their recovery can be in jeopardy. And do you see that's why we need to allow people to have their own spiritual path? Because we would run people away. This is a program of unity, not disunity. And if our traditions teach us anything, it's that we're all addicts. And as such, you know, we have the right to believe and to think the way we want when it comes to our higher power and our spiritual path. We as members have a duty to encourage the spiritual explorations of other members. And we who are exploring need to know that we can look wherever we want for our spirituality without threatening our membership in NA. Believe whatever you want to believe. No one can say anything about it. Whatever you're doing on the outside, and I'm not going to mention anything in particular, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't. And I'll tell you this. Oh, gosh, it's been a long day for me, and I'm going hunting at 4 o'clock in the morning. There's a mystery here to me. There is a mystery. Because you can follow a different spiritual path than I follow. And I haven't figured it all out yet. Maybe I just one day will and or eventually drop it. But do you know, I've seen people get clean and stay clean and stay in recovery and live the principles that the steps say that don't have my heart power, who works for them. Somebody that was in my, or is in my fellowship on Sunday asked me, "Mike, how can you be a part of a program where people don't believe like you?" And I told them, I said, well, I can tell you this. It works for people. NA works. I don't know how that happens. All I can say is I'm growing in my spiritual path and beginning to understand this concept of a higher power. And I understand it when someone says, well, the group is my higher power. I understand that. That's their spiritual path. And they get strength from that. They get clean from that. They stay clean from that. You know, from where I started and where I've come today, it's night and day for me. The steps have changed my life. NA has changed my life. Being able to have my own spiritual path has been an eye-opener for me from the standpoint that I'm more acceptable today of other people's spiritual paths. You know, and when I work a spiritual program, it helps me in dealing with other people and other people's personalities. Yeah, I still get pissed off. That's just part of who I am. But I'm doing better. I am. And today I realize that, you know, when I mess up, you know, I can go to someone, and I do. It takes a while sometimes to say I was wrong and I'm sorry. And that's part of growing in Narcotics Anonymous in a spiritual way. All right, I've been talking for about 30 minutes. It's up to you.
Thank you. Our next speaker, Louisa S.
Okay. Hi, family. My name is Louisa, and I'm an addict. So I'm going to stand up because I'm totally exhausted, and it's so past my bedtime. I'm a mom of a two-year-old, so when he goes to sleep at 9 o'clock, I'm like sleeping at 8:55. Like that, I'm just really tired. And I tried to drink coffee, and it's just not working. But so I want to just thank the convention committee for asking me to share on such a rough topic. Right? And it's not rough for me to share on. It's rough sometimes to share about so people can receive. Does that make sense? Right? But I'm going to ask for your permission if I could be honest. Right? So I was talking to Mike before, right before the main meeting started, and I said, man, if I share what I really want to share, it might hurt, right? But then if I don't share what I really want to share, am I not sharing my experience, right? So then I said, okay. And then I started reading. And the literature answered my question. It says this, exactly from the thing. So like, I was like, people keep asking me, what's your topic? And I was like, a paragraph somewhere in the literature. They're like, oh, but exactly why? I said something about spirituality and unconditional, something of that, of somebody's path or whatever it is. But it's just like, they don't have topics. They're making it complicated, right? So I said, I don't know. It's like spirituality versus religion, right? And then, so then I read it and it says, finding a spirituality. Okay, so we cannot pretend. Where is it go? Where is it at? I was reading this whole thing. That's so great. Okay. Hold on one second. Our own right to our own spirituality in NA is unconditional. And that also means that we must allow the right to others, right? It is not very complicated. But this is one area in our recovery that it seems to we love to complicate. It says we love to complicate this area. Got you. Okay. Any single definition of spiritual principles would be too restricted for us. Our traditions remind us that NA is not a place where any single spiritual path is endorsed. This is where the answer comes. Finding spirituality that works for us can be one of the most important challenges, I always like challenges, that we face in our recovery. And yet we are often, and this is where I was at, we are often afraid to talk about it. We may worry that we will feel out of place or that others will be uncomfortable with what we are sharing. When we are carrying the message, we learn to take the boundary clear between our personal spiritual experiences and the message of NA. Finding a balance in which we open to one another's experience without creating an impression that we are endorsing a particular religion can be a struggle, right? Struggle. Very big struggle. Because when they say Narcotics Anonymous is not a religious program, in our perspective of what religion is, it's not. But it's the most religious program I've ever been in. We read the readings religiously. We say a serenity prayer religiously. In the perspective of what our concept of what religion may be, it's not. But religion, like the definition of religion, is to practice a belief ongoing. And I strongly believe in Narcotics Anonymous, and I strongly practice it in all my affairs. Because it says, there's no must. People say there's no must in NA. There are a lot of musts if you read the literature, right? We must change our old ways of thinking or go back to using, right? So there's just so when I got here, I was 23 years old, and I was too young to be clean, right? Like, I wasn't a drug addict. You guys were drug addicts, and I just smoked dust. That's it. Like, I was just like, you guys were like burning your lips with stems. I didn't even know what stems were. I didn't know shooting galleries are in Texas, right? You shoot guns. And shooting galleries are where you shoot dope in. And I didn't know that. I wasn't that drug addict. And so I so compared my story. I was the girl hiding in church, thinking that was gonna save me. And I was so struggling every day because the outside looked good, but the inside was dying. Just like cemeteries. If you go to cemeteries in New York, they're real pretty. They got some beautiful statues, but inside the tombs, there's nothing but decay. And that's how I was when I got here. The outside, car, money, job, cool. But the inside, in our first step, it talks about there's an inner unmanageability. But you don't see that inner unmanageability if you don't realize the outside unmanageability that comes. It's an effect, cause and effect. And the inside unmanageability is something that pours out in our lives. So when our outside looks very unmanageable, it's the exact nature of what's happening on the inside. And so in this topic, right? So I got here and somebody that I was in church with said, you know, this is nice, but I think you should go make a meeting. I think a meeting is gonna help you. And I said, no, I'm all right, you know. And then they said, oh, I think I might have a drug problem. And they said, well, if you think you might, you really do. So just meet me for breakfast. We'll make a meeting. And I did. And that was October 26, 2002. And next month, I'll have 17 years clean. And so I came here. And they said four things. Get a home group. Get a sponsor. Get a commitment. And do the work. So I got a home group. I got a sponsor. And they said men with the men and women with the women. And I was like, oh, no. We don't like that. I don't like women. You're shiesty and grimy and crazy and nuts. Because I was shiesty, crazy, and nuts. And I didn't like things in me. So I wasn't going to trust another woman to deal with that issue and my issues. Because you're going to go off and tell everybody. So the person that brought me to NA became my sponsor. I didn't even ask him. I told him that he was going to be my sponsor. Right? I got it. They told me make the coffee. I said I don't drink coffee. They said, well, learn how to make it. And I learned how to make it. And I drink it now. And then they said do the work. They said it's insane to be in a 12-step program and not do the work. That's insanity. You are in handcuffs. And you have a key to give you freedom, and you choose to stay handcuffed and throw the key in the ocean if you don't do the work. And I said, okay. So, but when I got clean, they said this. They said, we suggest that you stay out of relationship, not for the first year, until you do a fourth and fifth step. Because it'd be crazy if you would get into a relationship and not with somebody else, and you don't even have a relationship with yourself, and you're going to bring somebody that's crazy into a relationship because you don't even know that person, and now you're bringing someone crazy into a relationship. So I said, great, give me step work so I can do a fourth or fifth step so I can get into a relationship. That was the reason I did my step work. And while doing the work, right, I started doing the work, and at the end of the second step, in the basic text, it says, when our belief has grown, then we're ready for step three, right? It's at that point. And my sponsor wouldn't move me unless my belief was growing. Because then who's the God in three that you're turning it over to? Because in New York, I'm not nobody in Texas, and not the people from New York that are sitting here, those other people, right? They're like the NA police, right? God forbid you say something wrong in a meeting. They're calling you out. They're screaming in the middle of the meeting. She said the S word. You know, they're coming in from the other side of the room. It's just like the NA, like the FBI NA are coming in to make sure that you are following the right lingo and the right. And it's so crazy that if you say a wrong word, like the S word, in a meeting, they get all crazy. But when you say God, our literature says God with a capital G, not a lowercase g, a capital G, that's always a problem. But that's in our literature. I had to grow in this belief. Because now I'm changing, and if anybody's like me, I'm very controlling. I like things my way. My way is the right way. And I'll tell you that my way is the only way, and it's going to work for you. Even though if I don't believe it. But I'll make you believe that I'm right, right? Like if me and Miguel are having an argument, and I know that I'm wrong, he's going to know that I'm right. It's just the way I roll. We drug addicts, we speak well, we talk, we can manipulate, we can justify the most outrageous sort of nonsense, right? Right? And so I did the work, and I realized that my whole life, I had a God of my convenience. I'm talking about God, let me talk to you right now when the pain is great. And then let me stop talking to you when everything is good. Because now, thank you very much for your services. I got it. Right? I don't know if anybody's like that. When the pain is great, I need God. I need everybody to pray for me. I need the most spiritual people around me. I'm bugging out. Somebody got to do something. I listen to the most spiritual music during the most crucial times of my life. And then when everything is great, Hot 97 goes back on. I listen to Wu-Tang Clan. Spiritual music out the window. Don't pray for me, I'm good. You know, God got my back. You know, not God don't have my back in the moment. I have my back in the moment. And God is preparing me to get to that other place where I'm drawn to my knees so I can rely on Him again. And so, I was raised this way. To mind your business. Anybody raised that way? I was raised to mind your business. What happens in this house stays in this house. And what happens over there, mind your business because it's none of your business. And I learned that if I practiced, it's terrible and it's good at the same time, right? Way of thinking. But if I learned throughout these years that I've been here that point of minding your business, if you would really apply that to your life, you would live a great life. My spiritual path is my spiritual path. My recovery is my recovery. Don't mind your business what Lucy does. Mind your business what Colin does. Mind your business. Don't try to control and manipulate and try to say, well, if you do it this way, it would work. I've learned in my years of being here, minding my business and focusing on me and stop pointing the finger at everybody else. I was always good at that, little kid. Well, you know, she did it too. He did it also. But Luisa, you just broke all the dishes on the table. It don't matter. If he wasn't running, I would have not, you know, it's always blaming somebody else. It's always pointing the fingers at somebody else. And they always say, when you point one finger, three point back at you. Like, there's, you got to just stop it. Like, there comes to a point where you stop it and you grow up. And you stop it to a point that if you don't get right with yourself and God, like step work, right? I always share this. I do step work. I'm going to have 17 years clean. I just finished doing another 7-step. I talk to my sponsor almost every day. Like, we are cool. The first sponsor I had him for 3 years. I said, thank you very much for your services. You're great. But when it's the time of the month and I'm a little bit crazy, you don't understand that aspect of me. So I have to move on to a woman so she can understand when I feel bipolar, tripolar, and all crazy polar. Because I bug out once a month and it's cool, right? And I've been with her for the last 13 years. And I still do the work. And the work doesn't change you. It only brings awareness to the change that needs to happen. Mm-hmm. Right? Meetings don't change me. My sponsor don't change me. Having being in conventions don't change me. None of that changes me. It brings awareness to the change that needs to happen, right? It brings things to the surface. But there's a God in this program that changes you. Because check it out. If I was able to change me, I wouldn't be here. I just wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here anywhere. And I have the right to my spiritual path unconditionally. Like, you ever give some... I always do this. In New York, they beg for money all the time. Every red light, every corner. They just, in Brooklyn, they're all over downtown Brooklyn. The same guy is at the corner of Skimmerhorn and 3rd every day. And I'm like, no. But I won't ever deny somebody something to eat. So I won't give them a dollar or two. But I said, if you're hungry and you want a sandwich or you want coffee, let's go to the corner store and I'll buy it for you. Right? And I do that because I have to learn to live this program, right? Not just speak this program. I need to learn to live this program. And I have to live this program because I buy that coffee or I buy that sandwich, not with the conditions that the man's going to buy me dinner in 2 days. I don't expect nothing in return. That unconditional, like if I love you unconditional, then you don't got to do nothing for me. My love is free, right? But when you do things under conditions, then you're expecting something in return, and you're in a place where it's ugly. Because then you put expectations on people, and they never meet those expectations, and then you get angry, you get mad, you get hurt, resentments all over the place, because they were never supposed to meet those expectations, but you put them on them wrong. Like wrongly. And so it's unconditional. And everybody has a right. Like this spirituality means all beliefs, like just open to believing, not believing. But I learned this in recovery. That at some point, you hit a ceiling. There's a ceiling. There's a spiritual ceiling in Narcotics Anonymous, I believe. In these lists that I've hit. Plenty of times, because there's different ceilings, right? And there's a ceiling that, like, you know, if I have a toothache, I'm going to go to a dentist. If I need a physical done for work or whatever, like I decided to go back to school and they're like, oh, well, you need your MMR. And I was like, I think I got that when I was 5 years old. And that was like a really long time ago. I don't know what doctor that was at. Like, but I had to go to the health center and I had to re-get it. I said, is it effective? If I get it for the 15th time, is something going to happen to me? They said, no, just get it and put it on paper. I said, okay, great. I went somewhere to get it done. I found here that there was a spiritual ceiling that I hit. And I needed more of God that I couldn't find here for me. Some people find it here. You know why I couldn't find it here? Because when there's no meeting and no one answers their phone and no one, you know the people that when you give their number, they say, call me anytime, I'll pick up any hour of the day. And they're not picking up. or where something really bad happens at 3 o'clock in the morning and you have no one to turn to? Or the disease, like you ever have those moments where the disease just is on you and on you and on you, and you're like, I have these weird, crazy thoughts sometimes. I used to be a cutter. I used to be a cutter. Like, I used to take knives and I used to cut myself because I don't know why. I just like, why did I do that? But I used to do that. Sometimes, even now, just take the knife. See how it feels. It's a thought. And it comes out of nowhere. Like in the middle of praying, it comes out of nowhere. It's like, where was that? I had to learn that I needed something more powerful when the disease talks to me. I need a God that talks to me stronger. And I share an example. I had 2 years clean. The biggest hope of recovery was my father. My father was in recovery. He got clean. He had 13 years and 364 days clean. And I got a phone call that he drank wine and he doesn't need recovery no more because he's a crackhead, but he could drink alcohol, right? And that rocked my world. Like, if he's gonna relapse, what am I doing here? I got that phone call at 2:30 in the morning. And I cried my eyes out. And I didn't know who to go to. I literally got down on my knees and I said, God, if you could please do something, do it now. My sponsor at the time, right? It's like 3 o'clock in the morning and he's in California and calls me and was like, yo, Lou, what are you doing? I said, but do you know that it's 3 o'clock in the morning? He was like, yeah, but I know you always up and something, you know, you're doing something or whatever. I just calling to see how you're doing. And I said, yo, let me just tell you what I got. I put God first in a situation and I was able to like put him first and he was able to provide something in the moment because there's no meeting available and no one's answering phones and no one's doing that. And I have to allow that right for other people to go through their process. What I'm responsible for is doing the work so I could get better, right? You see me in a meeting, I don't claim, you know, I don't say, oh, this is my God. I don't say, this is the 10,000 things that I do. These are the, you know, this is how long I've been. I don't say none of that. It's not of any concern. I tell you what step I'm on, what I'm struggling with, how I have God in my life and I fall short every day, all the time, in my mind, out my mind. Like, but it doesn't matter. It matters that I try to live God more than I try to speak God. Right? I try to live the best life that I have. I had dark, dark times in recovery. Dark, dark times that using looked okay. Like, using looked good. Like, I'm talking about, I've been here, I've been around the world, I share at certain different places, it's just part of who I am. I'm known for being, like, the God girl and all that stuff. So a lot of people know, like, what I do outside of Narcotics Anonymous. They know, like, I try to live the best life according to God's will for my life, right? I stood out of a relationship for 13 and a half years. 13 and a half years, no relationship. Worked on me. I am talking about worked on me. Right? I'm fluffy now, but I was 370 pounds when I got here. I did 8th and 9th step, and I made amends to myself because food was my first addiction. It has become my addiction again. Since I've been, I went all the way down to 185. My mother was like, you look terribly sick. And I said, I know, but I have bones in my neck. I never felt bones in my neck. I never felt bones. I never felt my ribs in my life. Maybe when I was like 3 years old. But that was I was always heavy my whole life. I got down to 185. I was like, okay, wait a minute. And then I got sick and I was diagnosed with lupus and I was on steroids for 2 years and I was a mess and I gained some weight and now I'm a wonderful 250 pounds that I wish I need to lose 55 pounds and I'll be happy. Right? I know exactly. I want to be 195. Right? But I can't do that on my own. I need to do that with your help and God's help and all that great stuff. But I say that all to say is that I did some work on myself. I stood out of a relationship for 13 and a half years. I did work. I got into a relationship. I practice boundaries in my life, right? And I thought that I had this area on lockdown. And so Luisa shares all over. Luisa's the God girl. Luisa does this out of NA. Luisa does this. And Luisa comes out pregnant and not married. I tell you guys, the darkest time of my recovery was the 10 months that I was pregnant. I'm talking about people in NA talked about me. People in my religious place talked about me. Bad. I'm bad. And I was very quick to, I could have packed up and went somewhere else. Like, I could have went to California to live with my father. I could have just left and gone somewhere else. I could have done, I felt ashamed walking around. Felt like this baby is, like a curse. Not the baby was a curse. The situation was a curse, right? Even though the doctor said I could never have kids. And it was in that moment that I had to really get with God. Because my sponsor didn't help. I'm talking about nights of crying. Crying. So dark. So dark, saying, popping a whole bunch of pills, killing the baby, killing me, and everybody would be happy. But after doing some work and a lot of journaling and getting with God, I'm talking about when it gets real dark and there's not no meeting to go to, or maybe you're just too embarrassed to get into a meeting because you have many years clean and you can't share exactly where you're at. Because it's hard sometimes when you have a lot of years clean and you want to really share where you're at and you just can't because people look at you in a certain way that you're not supposed to be there. I got with God. And you know what God told me? To be still and allow him to be God in the situation. And I had a beautiful baby boy that runs around at meetings, and he would have been running around this convention, but I just needed 2 days away, just 2 days off. Because he's a lot of work. He'll be running around in the plane tomorrow. But I have a right to my spirituality. And I have a right to my process. And it's not easy. It's hard at times. But let me tell you, the longer you stay clean, the harder life gets. Right? Because we think that we were crazy using, we're more crazy clean. Because we have no excuse to say it was the drugs or the alcohol that made us do it. No, what excuse are we using now? No, we just crazy, and we still crazy. And so it gets harder. You know when something gets harder, but it's easier? It's just very difficult to explain. Like, life gets harder, but it's not really that. I live the best life. Are you kidding me? So I come to Houston. Because my mother and my sister, decide to move to Houston, right? So they moved to the other side, southeast side, right? And so over there, 45 minutes away from where we're at right now, the way I drive. Okay. And so my sister and my mother were like, well, why don't you just come out here? And I was like, because they don't understand this. And I said, because God didn't tell me to. So my sister was like, well, why don't I talk to God and let him know that you're coming out here? And I said, no, it just doesn't work that way. When God has a call upon your life, he knows exactly where you need to be. I said, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to come out there and I'm going to see what God does. I've been here for a week and I like it here. I do. You know when you live in the city that never sleeps and you're real tired? I'm real tired. And so I like it here. But I know it's not time yet. And I know it's not time yet because I have a pretty good connection with God. And I don't boast about it. I've done a lot of work to get that connection. Right? There's a connection with God that we could get. But then there's a deeper connection with God that you can get if you do really deep work, right? And get with other people that have not that they say that they have God, but there's evidence in their life that they have God in their life, right? They're doing something and you like what they're doing, not by just watching or hearing them behind a microphone or a podium or whatever the case would be, because we addicts, we all talk good, but I'm talking about seeing God when no one's looking and still seeing God there in their lives. I have people around me like that. And when I need to get a little bit deeper, I talk to them. And I said, please tell me what I got to do next. And they guide me. And whatever they say, despite how I feel, I do it. I do it. The cursing thing, I don't curse. That's amazing. Are you kidding? Nobody knows me here before. I was terrible. Oh, gosh, I was terrible, right? And maybe once in a while, if I'm really extremely, extremely pissed off, maybe the S word might come out, like the sugar honey iced tea, right? Like just, right? And not because of anything that I do, but everything that God's done. Mm. Nothing that I do. If it was up to me, I'd get pregnant and not be married. When it's up to God, Narcotics Anonymous has totally blessed my life. And Narcotics Anonymous blessed my life because if I believe that if the whole world would do step work, we would live in such a beautiful place, right? Could you imagine your boss doing step work, right? Knowing the exact nature of their wrongs and they could go, you know, man, that would be great. My boss does step work and we still argue, right? But I have the right unconditionally to the way I live, right? And the God in my life. And I don't need to publicize it or put it on a billboard. I just need to live it. And what you do is none of my business, right? But if you come to me to ask about God outside of a meeting, oh, I'll tell you everything. Are you kidding me? I'll sit there for hours and talk to you about it, right? So I think maybe I'm coming to Texas. Because I think God's opening a door for like a third step appointment, an 11 step appointment here. I don't know. But I've been doing something for 17 years that's been working. And I feel like Texas is my next journey. I don't know about challenge. I don't think it's challenging. I think it's going to be a good journey. It might be challenging because I don't have no one here to help me on that aspect. But I'm here, I'm open, and I'm willing to see what God has. And I'm never leaving Narcotics Anonymous. I could say never. I could say that I'm going to have 17 years. You know, they say, oh, no shorts and all that stuff. Listen, they say if you learn to live this program, not speak this program, not know this person program, but live this program, you don't have to relapse. Relapse is not a requirement, right? But if you don't stay humble and forget where you come from, it could be your time. So I'm going to close with this one little story and I'm done. So I go to Texas, right? I don't remember what year it was, but we went to Dallas. And I want to be, so I'm there. It was me, another female, and a bunch of guys. We're at a conference that's not recovery. So we go to Dallas. We there and we're like, okay, so what are we gonna do, right? I said, can we not eat? Like that was the first thing. We all get in the minivan, we're all squashing. Can we not eat? I don't wanna eat right now. We just got off the plane, let's not eat. Let's go check into the hotel and let's do something fun. because we're always eating, and we could all in this car afford to lose a meal, right? So they said, okay, well, what do you want to do? I said, I don't know. Let's go ride a bull. Let's go shoot a gun. Let's go do something, right? And from the corner of, like, the peripheral vision over here, I see Sky Zone, right? Right? And there's slingshot things, bungee jumping, the swing thing. Like, there's all these free-falling 16 stories, all these wonderful things. And I was like, Sky Zone, guys? You guys are all like that. Let's go. So like everybody's like, okay, let's go. Okay, we go. So so there's the swing, there's a bungee jump, there's the, what's the thing? There was the free fall, and there was a slingshot. I said, I've done the swing, I've done the bungee jump, the free fall, I think I'm too big for that. I'll do the bungee jump, right? Okay, so we have to get ready, and first we have to meet the weight restrictions, right? So you can't be no more than 240 pounds. I get on the scale, because I have to check, 239, right? I said, all right, God, you're making a way. So we harnessed up, me and my friend Jada, we going on the bungee jump. But it's 10-story bungee jump. It's nothing big, right? 10-story bungee jump. And so we climbing the steps, right? We harness up, we climbing the steps. And as we're climbing, Jada begins to dry heave, like she got to throw up. And I was like, what's wrong with you? She goes, I'm scared of heights. I said, what are you doing on a bungee jump? She goes, I'm just coming to support you because you really wanted to do this. And I was like, just go back down. She's like, no, I'm coming. So I was like, please just go back down. I'm trying to focus myself. I'm trying to center myself to jump 10 stories. So I'm going and I'm walking up and I'm like, damn, 10 flights of steps. This is a lot of steps. I was rethinking at story five, like I still got 5 more to go. I don't know if I'm gonna make the steps. Forget about the jump, right? So okay, so I'm walking up the steps and I'm getting to like the 7th story and my heart starts beating a little bit, right? Miss Daredevil, let's go jump off of things. I'm getting heart palpitations. Like, you know when you don't feel your heart here, you feel it in your throat here, right? And then you feel it over here. It's like your tonsils are shooting. It just, everything started shaking. I started getting to the top. My knees started buckling. I started getting nervous. And Jada was like, I'm coming, Lou, I'm coming. And so I was like, just go down. Like, just be quiet. I have to focus. So there's like a wooden thing that has to go up, like a barricade that got to go up. And then you go to the end, right? And you hold on to the pole, and they connect you to the bungee jump. So we did all of this, and I'm holding on to the pole, and I'm right there. I remember Michael Jackson was playing. Michael Jackson, I remember exactly what happened, right? She said, and finally Jada came up, and she goes, I'm here just for support, but I'm not jumping. I'm just letting you know. I'm just here for support. And I said, Jada, just be quiet. And so the guy goes, you ready to jump? I said, yeah. He goes, okay, let go of the pole. I said, wait a minute. Right? So he goes, no, but you got to go, right? Your friend is going to go. I said, she's not jumping, so relax. And so he said, jump. And I tried to jump. I did one of those. My feet were not moving. They weren't moving. And I was like, I'm going to try. So I let go of the pole, right? He goes, I'll push you. I said, I'll punch you in your face. I said, don't touch me. And I grabbed the pole because now this dude wants to push me. And I'm like, now I'm like, okay, relax. So I'm holding on. And everybody that I told, let's go jump off of something is, go, Lou, you can do it. Go, go, jump, jump. And I look down and I'm like, I can't do it. I can't. My feet were not moving. My mind was saying jump. My body was saying no. The electrical neurons that send those messages were not working. Right? Okay. So I try. And I try to do one of those. Nothing. I take a step back. I take another step back. I said, can you just lift up the barricade? Because I'm just not jumping. Right? I don't jump. And I walked down the steps. And they said, well, why didn't you jump? Why didn't you jump? And I said, it looked really nice from down here. But when you get up there, there's a different perspective. You see, The reason I didn't jump, I did zip lining, very higher than the 10 stories. I did zip lining off of cliffs. Like I see, in zip lining, when they attach you to the zip line, you feel the security. In bungee jumping, your security comes after you jump. And with God, sometimes you gotta jump without feeling secure, knowing He still got you. The hardest jump you could do are those jumps. But the most worth jumps are those jumps. Because you jump in faith, knowing that you might not feel secure, but in the end He got you. And with that, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you for allowing me to serve.